You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
When a medical mistake causes you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! Matt Wilhelm and I holding it down here with the Dog Bowl in Berea. Let's go to Jim in Akron now. Jim, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing, fellas?
Good.
Man. I was wondering, why does the new ownership, and probably pretty much since the new Browns, they don't really reach out or have as many of the old-timers, or even not necessarily old-timers, but the guys from the past be a part of it. And I think...
What do you mean by that? Because we've had alumni at every home game. I just emceed a massive alumni event at the stadium where Bob Golic was introduced in the Ring of Honor.
In the pregame show, we've had Michael Dean Perry, Ernest Biner, Kevin Mack stop by the broadcast as well.
Well, I guess maybe more in the building, like being part of it. And the reason I say this is...
Making decisions for the organization?
Well, I mean,
is this about Bernie?
Well, maybe, but I guess everybody's wish list, which is probably not going to happen, is Ozzy. You know, for whatever reason, you know, I won't mention his name, but you know who that moved the team and stole our team, gave him his chance in Baltimore. But, you know, there's nobody really there from that, you know, that man is gone. So, and I would think that there would be a little bit of loyalty from Ozzy, but we know that's not going to be it. And, you know, I'm not ready to give up on Pettine. You know, a lot of people want to give up on Pettine. And I draw a correlation, even though he's not this coach yet, but, you know, he's similar to Belichick when it comes to how he came up as kind of, you know, a coach's son and being around. And, you know, I think we need to give Pettine a chance, because you look at Cincinnati, look how many years Lewis was there with losing seasons and barely over 500. And maybe it's because the Brown family's cheap and they didn't want to get rid of a guy that was under contract, but they stuck with him. And now look, you know, they can't seem to get over the hump, but they've been in the playoffs the last handful of years. I think we need to stop having a revolving door of coaches. You know, I want to give Farmer the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, he's got to stop striking out and hit the singles. He needs to hit home runs when it comes to some of these higher picks.
Thank you very much for the call. And, you know, the one point that I want to make in kind of like the first half of your conversation, and Nathan, I'll let you expound on the second half of his conversation, is what I think the Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore thing is very near and dear in our heart because of A, our team got stolen, and B, this was the star of our football team for a decade here that led to many individuals' highlights of their Browns fandom came from Ozzie Newsome, Bernie Kosar, that era of football. But that all being said, and just to keep make everything kind of come full circle, look around the National Football League. The one person that comes to mind that actually was a player and a storied player for organization that's technically running it, John Elway in Denver. That's very rare to have a player, you know, a very successful player, play such a pinnacle, you know, high-level role for a franchise, and especially a franchise that you've been connected with in some way, shape, and form, i.e. Ozzie Newsome and his connection to Cleveland, Art Modell, so on and so forth. So it's guys just like Ray Farmer that started as a college scout, you know, then became a pro scout, became a, you know, assistant pro personnel guy, became the director of pro personnel, and then it's about time for you to take the next step, and an owner or a team president has to have a trust in you that it's time for you to give you the big bucks and the keys on the, you know, personnel side of their ship. So it's very rare for players. My whole point, very rare for players that have played for that organization to be in a decision-making position for that club.
And let's also not forget with Ozzie Newsome, he has a job. You think the Baltimore Ravens are just going to let Ozzie Newsome leave to go back to the Cleveland Browns? As far as Ozzie Newsome's concerned, those Baltimore Ravens are the Cleveland Browns. That's the organization he was with that went to Baltimore, and it's the same people. Obviously, Art Modell is not there anymore, but, I mean, that's where he probably feels he is with the people that he was once with here. I don't think he maybe necessarily feels that same connection. I'm not speaking for him, but, I mean, let's not forget, the guy's got a job. Not only that, we have a general manager, Ray Farm. We also have Mike Pettine. And for those of you who are saying that you want Ray Farmer to go but Mike Pettine to stay, that's not realistic either, because any new general manager that would come in here would want his own coach. It's a unique situation that brought Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine together. Typically, the coach is not hired before the GM. That's right. Unusual, but it was unusual circumstances for the Browns at that time that led to that ultimate decision and led to the ultimate way that it went down. And so that's why the Browns are in the situation that they currently are right there. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Ryan in Canton, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You know, I was listening to the Joe Thomas interview yesterday, and he was asked, you're 2-7, why not just throw Johnny Manziel in there for the rest of the season, see how he works out? And his response was, well, it's not just auditioning for a quarterback. You have to take in consideration all the players around him need to be auditioned too. And I get that. I understand that. But why not let them all play together and see if it works? Have Johnny throwing the ball to Barnage and Benjamin, see how Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell work out of the backfield with Johnny Manziel in there, and just let them all mesh together and ride out these last seven games and see if you can put something together for next season.
Yeah, that's what you've got to try to do, is figure out a way to circle the wagons and get some reps and get some wins. And for me, I certainly want to see, you know, what happens. I want to see more of Johnny. And I can't, you know, as more as I sit here and I think about it, the selfish element of Johnny Manziel, he's smart enough, I believe, to know that the way that he would stay on the field and have the coaches want to keep playing him ahead of Josh McCown is to do the things that would give them quote-unquote trust in him. And what I mean by that is, I'm going to speak for on the field only. That's making the right reads for the pocket, having the football go where the ball is supposed to go on a certain play against a certain coverage or a certain look. He's not doing that, and he's not doing that so he can go freelance or do whatever. I don't think he is yet proficient at that,
no,
given what he talked about. He's talking about in 1 year's time, he's got to go from what you learn in your freshman year class in high school compared to what somebody getting their PhD in that same subject would be learning in college. There's a massive gap, and he has to find a way to close that gap. And that's why I think it's by playing. That's where I see it. There was clear as day. There are so much, you know, Mike Pettine talks all the time about teaching tape. That's great teaching tape.
It is great
teaching
tape.
So what I want to do is teach him with that tape and then send him out there the very next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers and see, is there tangible progress on what we just taught you? And build on that and build on that and build on that. And then maybe by the end of the year, you have an opportunity to go in this draft saying, Johnny is our guy. We've got Josh McCown here, who's a guy that we know can fill in. We also have Austin Davis, who's a young guy. We've got Connor Shaw. Our quarterback room is actually kind of set for the near term. So at the beginning of the draft, we can go with a Laquon Treadwell, who's doing something that none of the other SEC receivers who are blowing up in the NFL right now did in the SEC. Or we can go with the most dominant passer, a Joey Bosa, somebody to really solidify this defensive line. Or he doesn't show that progress. He regresses or makes no forward steps. And you go in the draft and you say,
I need Paxton Lynch.
I need Jared Goff. I need Connor Cook, whichever one of these guys they determine to be the best fit for the Browns, and go from there. That's why I like it, but I don't know that we're going to see that. I think for Johnny coming off of that game where he had some success in structure, very little though, had real success out of structure, that's a perfect opportunity to see if you can progress from that, because he's seen it, he's learned it, and it's totally different tape than Tennessee. Tennessee was really asked to throw the ball all that much, 15 times I believe it was in that game. This was a much different game. And at the end of the day, to say you're uncompetitive, you're down 7 at the end of the third quarter on the road against an undefeated Cincinnati Bengals team.
Right. And I guess to play, you know, devil's advocate on everything that you just talked about, what you would think is, if you're Johnny Manziel, why continue to push the ball down the field or rely on your escapability and not just take what the defense is giving you? Because there's also there's a rhyme and a reason to play calling. You know, that's why some do it very well, and those people hold their jobs for a long time, and others that cycle in and out of being a coordinator in the National Football League. And I guess to your point, in the second half, when it is a three-point football game, why don't you stick to the run? Why don't you just take what you trust your playmakers? Don't rely so heavily on yourself to be the playmaker, which Johnny Manziel is, and rely on your teammates. I'll take Duke Johnson with a head start and 3 yards of space on any linebacker in the National Football League. And if you watch the film, there are multiple opportunities for that to become a reality, but Johnny Manziel bypasses that, bets on himself, buys his time, sees something else, comes off that read to throw the ball down the field and try to make a play with his arm again, but you're throwing it right into the teeth of the defense in a cover two.
And I think part of it too, eye level. I think that sometimes he drops his eyes to look at the rush. I think we've seen that on a couple of those plays. And when you're dropping your eyes to look at the rush, you're not looking at your receivers.
No.
There was the one play, which I think you're referencing, where you had Duke go into the left flat, Crow go into the right flat. Both
yes.
were wide open, or maybe it was the other way around. Crow left, Duke right.
Yep.
They were both wide open, and he didn't see it. And
with an 8 yard cushion in that lazy cover two, that drop cover two, sag cover two, where you get it the ball, based on what we know about Duke Johnson. Get him the ball in space, good things happen.
Same with Crow.
Right?
Crow's
averaging what, 17 yards a reception?
It's something silly like that.
Sorry, 12.3 as a running back. Okay?
Right.
But get him the ball in space. And in some cases, those flat routes are safe routes. Just like I always talk about the smoke screens, you know, out there to a wide receiver. That's an extension of your run game.
Yep.
You know, go get 6 yards on first down and put you in second and four. And I'm not talking a few or a bunch. Every offensive coordinator's job gets easier calling a play on second and four as opposed to second and nine, second and 10. You know, it's the nature of the business, you know. And what do analysts and coaches talk about? It's being on time, being on their clock, you know, and putting them in a third and two situation. I guarantee you John DeFilippo has 25 plays for third and two, both run and pass, and at third and eight plus, he probably has five.
Yeah, and as a linebacker, when you're in second and four versus second and 10, how much more concerned are you with a play fake?
You're not.
You're not even concerned with it at second and 10.
Right.
Like, oh, go ahead, run the ball.
Go ahead, run the ball. Yeah, I'll make a tackle for a four-yard gain, and you'll be
third
in third and six.
Bring it. All right, when we come back, we're going to go around the league here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. Plus, we'll work in some more of your phone calls as well when CBD returns.